Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Okay, so this probably dates me just a little bit, but I still remember what a big deal it was when I first got a cassette deck in my car. Nowadays, it's kind of a throwback to even find a CD player in some of the newer models.
Well, I admit my minivan still has a CD player, but electronics are a huge deal in the cars of the 21st century. From the way the engines themselves are controlled, to how drivers and passengers are kept safe, to how they're entertained.
And that's where we start in a conversation between Lake Effect auto contributor Mark Savage and another occasional contributor, former Lake Effect producer Dan Harmon.
Electronics obviously has been growing leaps and bounds in cars for the last 10 to 15 years or so. And just think back at probably early 2000s, and you did not have anything in your car probably beyond a radio and maybe a CD player. And today it's all infotainment systems and various means of connectivity. Something I read recently said that the average car in 2012 had $330 worth of semiconductors in their car. And that about 10% of your car's value is now tied up in infotainment.
So do you think that's where the money is going, the research is going, is in infotainment, as you called it, or entertainment? Or there's some other things going on that are much more involved? But it seems like that's the kind of baseline for average cars, or the car that most of us will have, is that's where the money goes in that kind of thing.
Well, right. You know, they're starting out, certainly entertainment is the biggest part of our world these days, and people want to be amused and hook up their cell phones and whatever else they may have with them. And so you're going to start that way, and the whole thing in my mind is going towards the automated car, which we've talked about, I know, in the past, the Google cars that are out there now and so forth, and all of that will come to pass at some point, I think, sooner instead of later. But the main thing is that you're just getting more and more things that your car can do for you. Maybe you like that, maybe you don't, but it's there anyway.
Can you buy a car anymore that doesn't have some form of electronics? Not, of course, just radios and cruise control. Those aren't really electronics anymore. Those are things that every car has. So can you buy something that doesn't have, for example, kind of sophisticated or computer-driven, even that would be the engine management, for example?
No, I don't think so at this point. I mean, you'd have to have something specially made, I'm sure. Because, like I say, all of the cars have the engine management systems just to make them more fuel efficient, to try and make all the government requirements for the fuel efficiency. And so that's been around a long time, too, you know, as they've been phasing these things in and putting the microprocessors and semiconductors and all into your car. But, you know, it started out, I think, with things like the backup camera. I mean, I think back maybe 5 years ago, and not many cars had them unless they were a luxury car, because that's usually where the electronics or anything of any consequence starts in cars. It starts at the high end of the market. And now I think I had a Civic the other day, and it's got a backup camera and a side-mounted camera. And I was like, wow, this is all for the $21,000, $22,000 car. This isn't your $40,000 and $50,000 car that's got everything on it.
Right. Are those things that are required now for cars to have?
It's not required to do that. It's just that everybody knows that if I don't have them, no one's going to buy my car. You know, the low-end car's got to have the same thing as the high-end cars, which is probably one reason why the low-end cars are costing more than they used to. So,
and a lot of cars, the cameras are now tied to or with the beeping. As you get closer to something, okay.
Well, right. In my mind, and I'm an old guy, so I get kind of tired of all the beeps and whistles and things going off in my car. I kind of like to be able to pull up next to a curb and not have it yell at me. But, these things are there, and they do tie together, such as the backup camera and the side-mounted cameras in cars that help you figure out what lane you're in and if you're going out of the lane, which I find incredibly annoying because we have so many potholes and things, you're trying to dodge them all the time and it's beeping at you. But this is all tied into what will be the automated car of keeping you in that lane and watching where you are and keeping you within the space that you're supposed to be. So it's kind of the first step, whether it's the GPS system probably was one of the first things. We got the OnStar system that's watching and knows if you've crashed your car and will call for help. They can unlock your doors. Now we have blind spot warning systems, which I think are really great because I think that's something that we probably have had more fender benders than in any other way because you get somebody gets in your blind spot and you start to pull over and you thought you looked over your shoulder but you didn't see and they're hiding back there. There's dynamic cruise control. which slows up if you're getting too close to the car in front of you, or somebody pulls in front of you, it slows up suddenly. So,
and the seems like the follow-up to the camera is on the other side of the car, which is the kind of autonomous braking. So it seems like that's a first step in cars driving themselves, or at least that's something that's going to filter down to the regular car, the average car, before true autonomous driving. And this is, of course, where the sensors in front will brake the car if you're about to hit something.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that so many of them now, I know Mazda has something called, or Subaru has something called EyeSight, and Volvo has another system that will help city braking, I think they call it, or something, where you're in a city and you're driving and somebody slams on the brakes in front of you, and the car will actually brake itself whether you're trying to brake it or not, because it feels like you're going to ram into the back of the car, and chances are you would have. So those are things that, like I say, will lead to the autonomous car, because it's watching everything around your car, and it's easier and easier for them to do that. Now, the question I still have, and someone asked me just the other day, was what happens when we have snow on the highway and you can't see the center line or the side lines of the road? What's it going to be monitoring? And I think that's certainly one thing they have to figure out, along with, I think we've talked about in the past, the liability of who's responsible, the car maker or the software people.
Mm-hmm. I could also see the autonomous braking thing not working on icy roads.
That could be a problem, but then again, it may be smarter than we are, so
right.
You don't know. And you mentioned all the cameras, and you know, there's even a couple I know in several Nissans I've had recently that they call the bird's eye view. So actually, you can see all the way around your car. It's like it's looking down from the top of your car. And so you can see all the, you know, if you pull into a tight parking spot, you can see how close you are to the car next to you and whether you could possibly open a door. And then, of course, the sensors as you back out of the parking spots beep if somebody's walking back there or a car is coming. And they're getting pretty good. You know, there's so many trucks these days when you're pulling out from between some trucks and there's a car maybe three or four spots from you that is pulling out or coming into the parking spot. It will start beeping at you, and it's like, well, great. You know, now at least somebody else is looking out for me back there because I can't see around these big things that are parked up next to me.
And I'm not sure which other car make has it, but it's the front-end camera that will allow you to see traffic coming from two directions. So that would help you on a blind intersection.
Right, and one of the things that I've probably been hitting on too hard in my columns of late is just there's so many giant A-pillars in cars now. And you combine that with a giant mirror that's right next to the A-pillar, and you've got a huge blind spot, especially, you know, from the driver's perspective, looking towards the passenger side in that kind of front quarter. And if you have a camera that helps you look that way, that's great.
Where do you see the cars are now as far as autonomous driving? There's a few different modalities out there, and I'm wondering what you think. Well, first of all, what do you think about it? And then how far is that technology coming along? Is that something really that's going to be entering the market?
I think we're going to start seeing more and more of the kind of experiments out there where they maybe put some cars into a fleet and get some people testing them, whether it's Google employees or Ford or Chevy or whoever employees that will be testing these out in real-world conditions. I know they just had the first Google car accident recently where it pulled into the side of a bus at a slow speed, but generally speaking, these have gotten pretty high marks that they do tend to drive themselves pretty well. I like to drive. I think a lot of those of us who have been driving for a number of years enjoy that, enjoy having that control. But I am pretty sure we're going to see some autonomous cars on the road in the next 5 years or so. And certainly in the next 10 years, they'll be kind of, I bet they're going to be like hybrid cars are now. You know, they trickle into the market. A few people buy them, they'll probably be a little more expensive naturally up front. And then you'll start seeing some more and more of this, the electronics trickle down to where you almost have an autonomous car. And, you know, eventually that may be all that's being sold.
And these are, well, Google's car is GPS-based, is that correct?
Right. And you know, that seems to be a good way to go because you can, well, I guess if the satellite goes dim or something, that would be tough. But, you know, that probably won't be affected by weather as much as possibly some of these sensors that are looking just to the sides of you. But my guess is you're going to combine a lot of this and have it all together. So you'll have cameras looking out for you. You'll have your GPS system watching for you. And eventually we can all just sit back and, you know, play Tetris or whatever it is we do on our cell phones and iPads and iPods and all that now.
I know that Audi has, well, I think their model, at least for one of their cars, is that the car learns the route, or at least they have it on a track, and they drive it around the track, and the car learns basically the way the track goes, the distances, and that's how it learns it. It isn't necessarily GPS-based. Is that, do you know of any other car maker that is going to be exploring it from
you know,
that angle?
I haven't heard anybody else talking about that. I mean, it's an interesting idea, and I can see where if you do drive the same pattern day after day after day, that that would be a good possibility. But I'm thinking it's still going to need some other feedback because, I mean, I think around here, spring comes, the roads start getting closed on us. Maybe the route that I used to take every single day is only partially available to me, so I'm going to have to go a different route. And I'm sure you'll be able to override it and guide it yourself. But, you know, what happens, too, when you're on the highway and you're in a strange city and there's construction? You know, you got to be able to just let it guide you to where you need to be, and GPS is probably the best at that.
The first cars that are going to be available for people to purchase, are they going to be fully autonomous, or do you think that there's going to be some degree of driver involvement or expectation? You know, that, in other words, they'll have to be on the alert to take over the car at any given moment. So in some senses, it's kind of more driver assist if they're willing to step in if something goes wrong.
Well, I think they'll be driver assisted, especially at the beginning, because you'll want to be able to override things, and it'll take a while to totally perfect all this. But, you know, we think to ourselves, I think I read that a pilot in an aircraft only flies the plane for like 2 minutes out of the entire flight, no matter how long it is, and that's, you know, takeoff and landing. And we may be that way in cars, and I'm not even sure we'll need the cars to do the takeoff and landing, so to speak. You'll punch the button, say, go to the office, and it knows where you go. Because well, either it's already been there once before, or you've given it the address, and it'll go right there.
So we're going to have cars that will drive themselves, and they're going to have fantastic entertainment systems in them, and other kinds of, you know, what else, what's left? Like, what's the next thing that can happen as far as electronics go?
Well, I'm assuming that we'll have, you know, widescreen TVs and everything in the cars eventually, because it will be in a roving entertainment center. I had a car recently that had I think it was a Toyota that had a screen that was about a foot wide on it. And it's like, gee, if I could get some TV on here, I could watch a ball game while I was driving to work or whatever. But it's the screens are only going to get bigger. And think of whatever function you have, whether it's at home or on your portable computer devices. And all of that's going to be something you can use in the car. I mean, there's already Wi-Fi hotspots in cars. There's wireless charging systems in cars, so you can just lay your phone down and it automatically charges now. So it's all going to be there. It's you know, we used to laugh, I think, about the big cars, whether it was the Buicks or Oldsmobiles or whatever, that were your traveling entertainment centers and living rooms on wheels. But this is really going to be a traveling entertainment center on wheels.
Right. Well, perhaps this is a topic for a future time, but do you see the design of cars then changing around this new paradigm? It's not going to be about driving anymore necessarily. So will cars have to be as powerful? Will they have to have certain features if the whole point of the car is to just sit in it and be driven around rather than be involved in it?
Well, right. I think there will be a change in the marketplace just because the car makers, the BMWs of the world that have been pushing the sporty end of their cars and the handling ability, especially if eventually none of the cars you can actually drive yourself, that may go away. But luxury will still be pushed, and the entertainment value within the cars will be pushed. So, you know, maybe I'll have to have a little deeper pile leather seats or something, and maybe it'll make my martini for me as I'm going down the road, because now you'll be able to drink in your car, right? This ought to be good here in Wisconsin. We can all have a beer and relax and go to the supper club, and away we go.
Is any discussion on the horizon that you see about the legalities of drinking and then being driven around in your own car?
Well, I was mostly being facetious, but I would bet that given time, that sort of thing, first of all, it will go on because people will take advantage of the fact of, hey, I don't have to drive, so why do I have to, you know, not have an extra drink while I'm at the bar at the night. So I'm sure the laws will stay the same for quite a while, because it takes a while usually for any legislatures to do any kind of lawmaking. So we'll probably have to worry about that for at least another 5 or 10 years.
Do you see anything coming on the horizon as far as electronics go, that what's left of they could possibly stick in a car anymore that will wow us?
That's a good question. I don't know what else is out there. What we probably should be watching is all of the electronics shows and seeing, you know, the conventions that come around and say, what are you guys coming up with? I'm assuming eventually we'll just have that chip in our head or neck and be able to touch it and say, I want to watch a movie, or I want to see something on the internet, and eventually be able to do that. Or glasses, certainly they've already got those coming up, so that you can just put them on and watch whatever you want to see. But again, it's a different world, and it's going to be kind of an odd world for those of us who enjoy driving, I think, because I don't think we probably won't be able to do that ourselves in maybe 10 or 15 years, that will be mandated that you must have a self-driving car. Maybe they'll have a weekend. You know, one weekend out of the month, we could all drive our car up to Green Bay and back or something, and that'll give us our fix for the month.
Right. Just like, you know, you can drive your own car just like in the old days.
Yeah.
Which are right now, yeah.
Yeah, vintage cars are going to be those from 2016 backward, and the vintage car will be, you're allowed to put a vintage plate on and go out and drive it yourself.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark, for coming back on.
No problem. Thanks.
Mark Savage is an independent car reviewer whose work appears in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, on Lake Effect, and online at his website, Savage on Wheels. He spoke with Lake Effect contributor Dan Harmon.